Okay, without further ado, I'd like to introduce our main speaker for this evening, all the way from Orchid, California, Leo B.
I'm Leo, an alcoholic.
Leo.
Good stuff, good stuff. You know, riding over here, it's riding over with Eric. He asked me, do you get nervous or how does it feel? And you know, I God's in charge. And you really only have one story. You know, and there's the one you think you about all week. There's the one after you share that you come up with, and then there's the one that comes out tonight. So I'm gonna kind of mix it up a little bit tonight. I've been, you know, I can make you laugh about some of the stories of, with my active alcoholism and some of the things that I've gotten myself into. But one of my favorite reads now, for the gentlemen back here in the corner, Zach and Patrick, who are studying the literature and learning, and someday they will have people that they sponsor. But this is, I came across this as I study. I'm a literature guy. I'm one of these that believes in putting the spiritual armor on in the morning. Tells me what to do upon awakening. But each and every one of you has experienced this. And it tells me here, under the lash of alcoholism, you can think lash, a whip. Under the lash of alcoholism, and this is a we word, it says, we are driven to AA. And there we discover the fatal nature of our situation. Then and only then do we become as open-minded to conviction and as willing to listen as the dying can be. We stand ready to do anything which will lift the merciless obsession from us. You know, yesterday I was participating in what I like to do, this tournament, and little pickleball and stuff, and you know, I was called up to the podium because the guy I play with, he's pretty good, so he helps, you know, get the trophy, and they pronounce my last name's Batson. So during this thing, about three people come over afterwards, and they go, are you related to Keith Batson? Now, Keith was my youngest brother, the fifth brother. And he died of active alcoholism at 36. Yet, he did at one time get 15 months of sobriety, coming in here and doing what we do. So it brought me back to, you know, it's what we do today. It's what Leo does today to keep this lash of alcoholism, and what the work that is done now, and I'm speaking about now, is to not let untreated alcoholism run my life. And, you know, you can start with just the selfishness, the dishonesty, the resentment, the fear, the procrastination, the judgmentalness, the list goes on. So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm 71. I was saying the other day, I told Glenn, I've been here for 41 years. I came in at 30. And during this time, so much has happened. But I'll lead you up to the point when I walked in this door, September 17th, 1982, with a meeting going on and reading out of the big book. By this time, I was the oldest of five boys. Born and raised in Sacramento, and then at 18 years old, our parents adopted a little girl, so we're exactly 18 years apart. So there's five boys and Lisa. So my alcoholism started on a fast track. 17 years old, I really hadn't got into partying much, but boy, I tell you what, once I got the effect of alcohol drinking, Boone's Farm wine, Later on in my drinking, it was funny, my brother sold wine. I have a second brother, Kelly, who, he's not an alcoholic. I have my brother, Brian, who died sober at 55, at 16 years sober. And some people know my brother, Ken, who lives in San Ynez. He's been sober 38 years. He's quite a trip. And then I just mentioned Keith, the brother that died of active alcoholism. But I'll tell you what I knew about wine. And this is, I told my brother, now he doesn't understand it. I think you might. I just look at the back label. The back label, you know, Boone's Farm, 8%, not very good. Night Train Express, 20%, good. I mean, I always drink for the effect produced by alcohol, always. So starting that little journey, and I got into the fast track alcoholism, what the speaker last night talked about enhancements. So all of a sudden there was enhancements. And I don't want to forget this, but I have 13 arrests in my life. I counted them. There were 7 in Sacramento and 6 when I got here to Santa Maria. And you have to remember, they didn't arrest us for DUIs in Santa Maria and Sacramento. If you told them you had somewhere to go, my cousin Christie, she'll let me go over there. They'd get you over there. They wouldn't even take the time to book you. But when I got here to Santa Maria, I found out they like to arrest you. Like, hey, but so let's. The first time I came to Santa Maria, I lived in Sacramento. They made a move when I was about 19 years old, to Santa Maria. I was really using other substances, drinking. Just, you know, my life was falling apart and they didn't understand. So my dad took a job over here. He ran a laundry service, Red Star Industrial Service. I think it's Mission Linen now. So we moved here and, you know, I got a couple little part-time jobs and I pretty much was staying on the straight and narrow for a little bit. And then I found out, you know, one of my friends was going to have a baby, so that's so I wanted to do the right thing. So I went back, got married. Toby, he's 52 years old. He's a parole agent. So we got married. I took my alcoholism with me. Got a decent job. The former spouse, my first spouse, worked for the state. I remember our first house, we bought a house. I think the payment started out at $86 a month. And I remember one time a bill came and I said, the mortgage went up. And she go, how much? 98. But the thing is, material things, I was an alcoholic. And my alcoholism really progressed there. And my first spouse, you know, she put up with so much. And I used to hang out a lot with my two cousins, Johnny Ray and David, which are both dead. And they would talk me into things like this. I don't know if, they'd come over and I was wearing a tie. I used to wear a tie, I ran a restaurant. And I own a home with the spouse and have a child. And they'd say, Leo, we got to go out tonight. Let's go drink. I go, nope, not going to do it. And somehow they'd get me out there. And I said, I don't have money to be drinking. And they get me in all kinds of trouble. I mean, they taught me how to siphon gas. They said, hey, if we siphon gas, how much is gas? I said, it was 49 cents a gallon. So they said, if we fill up your gas tank, that's like $8. I go, after a few drinks, I say, yeah, that's $8. Yeah. Well, you know, I get talked into these things, and one day I go to work the next day, and somebody's there, and they go, you smell like gas. And I'm saying, these are the things I would get into. And pretty soon the arrest started. They talked me into, pull over. Let's get that ladder. Put it in the car. You're driving down the road with 6 foot of ladder on each side. And somebody, so I got a, that was the petty theft. So I had petty theft, and by this time there was start, you know, I had relatives that were doing different things that were illegal, and they just piled up a battery, a brandishing a weapon, a misdemeanor burglary. I mean, the way I see things, when you see someone get into this forest and they're hanging with these people and you have no way out, you're just, this is your life. And to just let you know, I have, my grandmother would be lighting candles for myself, Johnny Ray, and David. Well, Johnny Ray ended up in and out of prison, heroin addict. 90 days, you know, they put you in, come out. He died at a very young age of active alcoholism. David committed suicide. And I'm sober. And my sobriety date at this time is 8/4/85. It ended up to be on my grandmother's birthday. I never realized it till a few months after when I changed my date. And this is the other thing. I've probably been to 200 speaker meetings here. And when my alcoholism just took me, it just got so dark in Sacramento, and I came, and my dad knew people, and I got a job. They got me over here at Williams Brothers Market. I was working at a market there, and I was really messed up. And I lasted about 4 years there. And back then, if you were, and the wife was supposed to follow, she was pretty smart, she didn't come. And I hope I'm not confusing you. These are my two journeys. And so coming here and getting that job at Williams Brothers, the Union Market, and they had me, I was going to be in management, that. But I remember the first DUI, 1978, and I went to court. And Glenn is the judge, and I'm Leo, I'm smart. And they go, "Mr. Batson, you've been arrested for DUI. If you go to the SMART program, it will go off your record." And I go, "Your Honor, do I have to go?" And Judge Glenn goes, "No, but it'll go on your record and your insurance will go up." And I said, "Because I'm smart." I said, "That's okay." Because I didn't know anything. I just knew they were going to trick me and take the booze away. My life. That was my life. And the second one, and this gets emotional, by this time, they didn't have the programs. They didn't send you to the 30 days. They knew you weren't staying sober or whatever, were year-round customers. So I remember the first time they came to me and they said, "Leo, instead of an hour lunch, will you take a half hour lunch? Because during the hour, you know what I'd be doing. I would be drinking and I'd come back and I was the worst checker in the whole world. I mean, I think they lined up to go through my line because I was, you know, I was always under the influence. And I'd be asking you how much the tomatoes were and the potatoes. One time I got called in the office. I don't know why this is coming to you. This is alcoholism. I mean, I'm messed up. I cashed a check stub. So, I mean, I must have been so out of it where the guy had the check and he probably took the check back and I gave him money on the check stub. And I didn't know how I'd get it, but I did it. How many people cash a check stub? Well, you did. That was that walk up, and Jack, anybody that was in the grocery business at Williams Brothers, they had their main store on Main Street, and you didn't really want to be walking up. That would be like going to the principal's office. So what they did is, back then, they just put you on night crew. And the night crew guys were kind of like me. You know, you'd stock the shelves and all that, a lot of partiers. But during that time, Thanksgiving Day, I was really still working there, and it's the day of Thanksgiving, And the guy talked a little bit last night about his addictions with the diet pills and stuff. And so it brought this up, 1978, and I go over my parents. I lived in Roxy by St. Louis de Montfort Church. My parents were devout Catholics. That's one of the reasons they moved to go to be close to St. Louis. And my grandmother used to go to daily mass, and I went to parochial school through ninth grade. Well, I get over there, and I really got into the booze pretty good. And I was pretty intoxicated. And my dad, I got in a fist fight with my brother Kelly, a year younger, because we fought all the time. And here's what happens, guys. My dad asked me to leave, so I go and I take a bunch of the pills to sober up. And I think I'm okay, so I'm going to the liquor store to get more, and I got arrested for the DUI, so here's what happens. Second DUI, Thanksgiving Day, I haven't even eaten, it's 2 o'clock, and I'm in jail, and the pills came off. And I told the guy, I'm not drunk! This is about my behavior. Look at, I'm sober. I'm sober, man. I said, you're still staying 4 hours. God, man. They let me out 4 hours, go back to that. But I had the second DUI Thanksgiving Day, ruined the whole family event. That's the behavior. And then it even got worse from there. I tell the story. It at the end, I was drinking at the Playroom Bar on Main Street. They had 15-cent beers at 9 to 10. And I don't know if many of you'd be there, but some of us would be there, because think about it. If you could get up that early, 15-cent beers, and at 3 minutes to 10, you could get a beer and 3 cups, which meant they were only 15 cents. But at 10 o'clock, they went up to 50 cents. And that's big dollars, you know, when you scrounge up a dollar, you can get a good buzz. But the first time I really heard about AA, there was the lady, the barmaid. She used to you need to go to AA. I said, what? And then they'd have these commercials, Raleigh Hills, go to Raleigh Hills. Anybody hear that one? So one time, my brother Ken, he was over there at the playroom, and we're just getting, you know, pretty wasted. And he said that I got up. I don't know how I got up to the top. He probably boosted me up there. And he said I was on the thing. And I'd just be, you know, I'd say, the bus to Raleigh Hills is now leaving. Please board to your left. And I mean, I go, who does that? But we do that. So yeah, I spent, you know, and then the story people like to hear is I hung out with these guys. By this time, I'm living with Gus, and I start in a room, and I'm in the garage. And I'm in the garage, but I go partying with my buddies. That might be Mike, Gary. There was another guy. I don't know if it'd be Billy. Maybe it'd be Glenn. Yeah, Glenn, he'd do it. You know. So we're going to go barbecue after we've been to the playroom. And I got my little Volkswagen, 72 Volkswagen, that, man, you know, if somebody needed to regurgitate, no problem. You don't even need to roll down the window, because it doesn't roll down. So, but this day, I still, because I like to bring the ego down, guys. This is not your classic. Your classic. We're going to go to barbecue at Waller Park. These guys, we go in Circle K. This is what they tell me. I was starting to get the blackouts. You know, I'm telling you about the Raleigh Hills. So they said that I went in, and we're there. I don't know what they were getting, but we're getting ready to barbecue. And I just went back and I picked up 2 8-packs of the hot dogs. I think I didn't get the thin ones. I think I got the big beefy ones, right? Because you can nicely. And they said that I just put them in my back pocket. Just, okay? And I'm standing there and they go, are you going to pay for those? I don't even remember. I said, No, not at this time. I mean, those are my road dogs. Those are my buddies. They should have said, no, no, take them. Give them back. Don't do that. Oh, shit, they were probably thinking, I'm going to have some hot dogs. But so all they did was take my license number down. They served a warrant when I went to court, and I got a petty theft. And I thought it was nothing, but I had another petty theft in Sacramento. So it was a 90-day sentence. June 25th, 82, and this is a story. I did not want to drink that day. I went the whole day till 5 o'clock. It'd be like knowing I was speaking tonight at 7, but I had to turn myself into jail at 8. And it got to be about 5, and I'm like this. Jones and man, I mean, I'm drinking every day. I mean, I said, I better have one drink. You know, at that, the phenomenal craving developed, I drank. Then my brother Ken, who was supposed to drive me, told me later he started drinking too. I didn't even know. I said, well, I'll drive. You take the car back. And so I got arrested for a DUI on my way to jail. So that doesn't go in there when you go in. What are you in for? Oh, wiener thievery and drunk driving on my way to jail. Even then they go, why didn't you just don't go? I mean, this is, and between you and I, no one wanted to see me anyway. I had burned them all. Every bridge was burnt. So they did. And this is what I'm going to tell you. When I was in there incarcerated in Santa Barbara County Jail, I'm serving time for the DUI and now, I mean, the petty theft for 90 and then an additional arrest. And I remember the day I came into court. And the judge, you know, I always remember the guy. They called me in and they just spoke loud. It seemed loud and they go, and he looked over, they said, what's Ray Leonard Batson's here, Your Honor. Said, well, he's already been sentenced. No, Your Honor. And everybody is waiting, right? And I'm there with my warrant. They go, no, Your Honor. They called it back. There was no, they said, it's not DWI. Got a 502 on his way to jail, Your Honor. And I mean, the court, he looked down on me like, you piece of. You know, so now I, you know, it's automatic third, so I was going to lose my license for the 3 years. So, point is, I go in there, they started bringing meetings into the jail, I didn't go, but I served that time. I got out September 15th, 1982, first thing I did is drink two Old English 800s, then the next day, a half pint of Seagram's just flowed down like a glass of water. So then I came into program September 17th, 82. They were reading out of this big book. I love the big book. I love the 12 and 12. The answers are here. They told me the answers were here. I started out living out in Orchid. I live out in Orchid now. I have a nice little place. I love it there, Coop and I. So then I have to tell you about the adventure since coming in here. So I started living in my brother's garage out back on Union Street. It was cold back there. Dude, I'd have long johns, everything, and stayed there with Ken. And started going to meetings. I didn't have a driver's license. They took the license away for 3 years. I had fines and everything. And so then the big move, I got to move down the street here. There was the Grayson Hotel. There was the post office, the Grayson Hotel, and I practically lived here. You know, they'd be playing cards, and they had a manager, and they had a little snack bar back there. It was always people here. And I'd go to the noon meeting, and I'd go to every meeting they had here. There wasn't the Ghost Any Length. There wasn't the Happy Hour Group. There wasn't 8 a.m.s. And you got to know pretty much everybody. And I got a very loving sponsor, Smokey. He was wonderful, and he just loved me. So that journey started in Alcoholics Anonymous. And in my second year, I went out a few times, and I always say I went out a few times, but we talk about enhancements in that, and I started smoking the old skunky bud, and I didn't tell anybody, and I remember taking a two-year cake up here, and man, it's a bad feeling being dishonest. If you're not sober and you're claiming sobriety, I tell anybody, man, don't do it. It's a horrible feeling. So I finally was able to get honest August 4th, 1985. I was sitting back there where the young lady is, next to Roger. Big Roger, I got to know him. He spent a few years in prison and became very famous. I didn't even know he was famous. He had 16 patents for Harley Davidson different parts. And I told him I'd been doing that. And he said, you need to change your date. And I did. My sobriety date's August 4th, 1985. I don't drink any, and I don't use any mind-altering substances. I tell my doctor I can't do anything that affects me from the shoulders up. I don't get into the debate on antidepressants and that, because sometimes I do believe people need those. So. But I tell you what, so the journey through this, my first spouse, we got a divorce. There's Toby Stacy. Toby's 52. He worked at Folsom Prison for years, and now he's a parole agent. My daughter Stacy works for Blue Shield. So my son has 2, and my daughter has 4. And none of my grandchildren know anything about my drinking, using anything. They just think, hey, I'm pretty cool, right? My son pretty much went through it. So during this time, I hope you followed to this point. Now we're going to talk. I come in. I'm doing what the sponsor said. I'm making commitments. I got to be able to run a halfway house, good house, for about 3 years. That was a godsend. And then I got a job on offshore oil rig and was able to pay my debts. And people will say you could never get a job sitting in a lawn club. It happened to me. I was sitting right where this gentleman is, and the call came in. Hey, this guy needs somebody to go on the offshore oil rig with him. He's in the program. Week on, week off. I said, I'll do it. I spent 2.5 years out there. I basically was just a high-paid dishwasher. You take the boat out and do that. And then after that, I went back to school. I got a job at Napomo Medical Center, which many of you know as community health centers. I met my second spouse there. And we were together 23 years. So I worked at Napomo. I eventually was in charge of the homeless health care project all of San Luis County. I ended up having staff and everything. And I share this, about 10 to 12 years sober, the untreated alcoholism came in. I didn't want to take the time to do the prayer and meditation in the morning, to read the literature, to ask God to direct my thinking. You know, I thought, you know, I've got stuff to do. I'm a big shot, don't you know? And boy, I tell you, those defects of character ran my life. And I was able to not lose my sobriety date, and I was able to recommit. And during that time, I mean, there was a lot of growth. I had another sponsor, Pete. We dug deep on the defects of character. And I'm a firm believer, guys, the first 3 steps, get right with God. I get right with God, the 3rd step prayer, I do that daily. But I'm right with God. Then the next 4 is I get right with Leo. I made that searching and fearless moral inventory. I got my resentments down, the fears down, the relationship issues, the sex inventory. I do believe now, as when I work with others, we break it up into the 3 categories. The resentment list, we get that going, and then have them praying for any of the resentments. And then the big one, the fear list. Then the relationship list. And then we go on to the defects of character, because it tells me that that separates the men from the boys. Anyone, this is a step that separates the men from the boys. So declares a well-loved clergyman who happens to be one of our greatest friends. He goes on to explain that any person capable of enough willingness and honesty to try repeatedly step 6 on his faults without any reservations, whatever, has indeed come a long way spiritually. So I did that. Now I do the 7th step prayer. I believe that God removed enough of the defects of character where I can function in society. pass on this great gift, but I still will say our seventh step prayer. And another one I think that skipped over for me, skipped over, is we'd make a new list in step eight. If you look, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. This could be relatives, friends, someone you just quit talking to. Just drop out of their life. You don't, and you know, you got to dig deep on that. You make a new list. You don't refer to the other list. You make a new list out of the 12 and 12, a new list. And then this is where sponsorship comes in, the direct amends. My first time going through it, I ran into a guy, they owned L&K Liquor, and they were having lunch, and I went up and told him. I told my sponsor afterwards. They were eating, having lunch. I said, those are bad checks that I wrote at your store, I'm going to pay them back. And he looked at me like I bumped my head. And I told my sponsor, he said, you're not there yet. And I got the list down. I owed franchise tax court. I owed back child support. I had all these bills. And it tells us in this big book, I don't fear our creditors. We're quite sure to drink. I was able to make a call. Remember when I called franchise tax board? This is before cell phones, guys. You called up and I said, well, I owe these taxes. And they set up payments. And then the next move, I didn't share this way. You know, I lived in a little place over on Sunset, right next door to my sponsor, Smokey. And these people spent so much time with me. They just loved me and guided me and on this path. So 8 and 9. And then I believe on our maintenance steps, I finally realized this, 10, 11, and 12. If you haven't read these stories in the back, these stories are so powerful. So I was able to make all these amends to my family, my children, and we're very close now. We talk daily. I talked to my son probably a full hour today. My daughter, I text her, we're close. And I know this part, this is where I believe in, people will say, oh, I got to do another fourth and fifth. Well, I believe it's a 10th step time. We put it on paper. We have to keep clean. It's like getting all the weeds out of the garden. You see somebody, some of them popping up. So this is on Gutter Bravado, and I caught this after much study. He said, I'm not sure where my journey may take me next. I know I'll owe it to the grace of God in the three words of the 12 steps. Continue, improve, and practice. And if you look at step 10, it says continue to take personal inventory. We're wrong, probably admit. Continue to do this. We've done the thorough inventory. Leo's done the thorough, man. I had a big list. And then improve. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him. Praying only for knowledge for His will, for us power to carry that. I don't leave my house until I do that stuff. I believe in doing the work. I read the daily reflections. I have a little 24-hour day book. That thing, I'll read you something out of this one. And I would ask you, if you would take that first 20 minutes and, like, you know how we get dressed and maybe we know, we look what we're going to wear, it's just put your spiritual armor on. You got to go out in this world. And this is from 5/17/93. Pete died sober. My last sponsor just died at 59 years sober. That was Rick. Dear Ray Leonard, and this is from his wife who's still alive, Mary, up in Morro Bay. Dear Ray Leonard, better known as our beloved Leo, hope you have a great day, wonderful year, and an even greater life. One day at a time, love and kisses, Pete and Mary. This is not AA approved, but I read this daily. It's the 24-hour day book. And this book, these little literature things, they mean more. You can't buy this. This is, I cherish this. I've taped it. It gives me where I think of them. So 10, 11, and it says, and practice. So if you're at this meeting tonight, you're doing 12-step work. Did you know that? This is 12-step work, sitting here. It tells us in our 12 and 12 that this is 12-step work, coming to a meeting. The people that put this on, Glenn that is be doing tonight?
Volunteering.
Volunteering, Glenn, yes. Okay. Now, the steps. But if anybody sees this, what does this say, Glenn?
12 steps and 12 traditions.
12 traditions. Okay. Okay, I gotta read this, guys. Not much longer. I won't speak over. But I had somebody said, Leo, why don't you ever talk about the traditions? Because the guys I sponsor, we work the steps and we work the traditions. You read it, I check it off. Oh, you read it. Then you write it, make sure you understand it. But if you look, our tradition one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. I need you guys. Said, right here, without unity, AA dies. The group must survive or the individual will not. Will not. How best to live and work together as groups. Tradition two, the loving God, how he expresses himself in the group conscious. When you go to a meeting and say, man, I feel better. Well, if you listen, God's going to speak to you through people. The leaders do not govern. I have to make sure I don't fall into the bleeding deacon instead of the elder statesman. That's when you've been around a while and you gotta put your 2 cents in for everything. Tradition three. Hey, any alcoholic is a member of AA when he says so. I've had people come to me years ago and they said, Leo, I don't think that lady's an alcoholic. I talked to her, and I'd say, well, does she say she is? Yep. Well, they're a member then. And they must like our company. Tradition four, each group should be autonomous. Autonomous is self-governing. This is a speaker meeting. You gotta listen to Leo. Holy moly. So it's, and this speaker, I think they have step study being set. Okay, so the group votes that in. One of the things about don't take yourself so seriously, I think Eric, the first time he met Kep, gave him this thing. And where did he find that? In our literature. I'm just a belief in the literature. And what is the group? I mean, we're here. Each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. I don't care if you live on a house on a hill, or you're renting a room, or you're living in a garage. Our primary purpose is to stay sober. I have a purpose every day I wake up. Stay sober and help other alcoholics achieve sobriety. You know, if anybody came in here and they say, what is this? I mean, we read it, Alcoholics Anonymous, it doesn't say was, is a fellowship. It's a fellowship. I know many of you, I mentioned to one of the people I started sponsoring about 16 months ago, they come in, they don't know anybody, they probably know 100, 150. You're a member of the fellowship. And what is it? Fellowship, Alcoholics Anonymous fellowship. I'm going to old terms, men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. That's what we are. That's what we do. I belong to other clubs. I belong to Santa Maria Pickleball Club. I play Santa Maria Country Club. I do, hey, I'm a member there. But the primary thing here, I'm a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm one of these guys that believes a little in, a little out. A lot in, a lot out. And with granted this great gift of being here all these years is to help others. So I've covered a little bit of that, and then I wanted to cover about the last 5 years of a lot of AFCOs. And if you don't know what an AFCO is, I'm going to give you a test on it. An AFCO is another freaking growth opportunity. First time I heard that, I was up in Five Cities there. I'd pull in there, and this is when I was working, driving a little yellow car, and there'd be a lot of sobriety. That, sometimes I think I had 33, 34, 36, I think last time I was 34 years going there. There'd be people there 52, 51, 46, 42. One time I counted 15 people sober longer than myself. And I said, hey, Paul, how's it going? I'm going through another AFCO, and I'm thinking, AFCO, I look at you, AFCO, AFCO, what's AFCO? And he explained it to me, a growth opportunity. So I've had some growth opportunities these last few years, guys. I went through second marital change. I thought that was, you know, she was a nurse. I was selling advertising. We bought the big house, all that stuff. Four bedroom, four bath, deck, patio, spiral staircase, you name it. Rental house, BMW, the material stuff. But I never sauntered away from Alcoholics Anonymous. Was always first. And even when we started dating and then married, I told her Alcoholics Anonymous, and it stayed first. But through that marital change, it was difficult. And that's where my sponsor said, you're going through a change, marital change. And I like that. And I call it my former spouse. I don't use the term ex. I just say former spouse. And people that have children, I don't say the ex-wife. I just say, hey, that she's the mother of your children. So then there was that. Then there was problems with, they found out there was something wrong with my heart, so I got a defibrillator and a pacemaker. And if you haven't had one of these, you really don't want one, but I get to have one. And people would always ask me, has it ever went off? They would say, has it ever went off? I go, no. Hasn't went off yet. Well, during COVID, March 31st, about 10:30 in the morning, and I'm waiting, my heart there found out it's not beating properly, but they couldn't do the surgery, it went off, and it's like, and it hurts, and the first thing I had a phone, I said, okay, what do I do? It just went off, they go, stay calm. So, then it happened again, and I was able to get the surgery I needed May 15th. And then most recently, it went off again, and so they're going to be doing something else. And I see it more a reason that I get to. And through that marital change, I mean, the house of my sponsor helped me through that. I got counseling. And you come out on the other end. So the AFCOs, now I just, you know, I'm happy, joyous, and free. Pretty content, pretty happy, guys, in my life. I'm one of these that I really believe. My sponsor, up until the day he died, would always tell me, Leo, go live it up. And I try to do that. And I really believe that I live that way. And the guys that I work with and sponsor, I want them to have a commitment in Alcoholics Anonymous. I want them to do their prayer and meditation. I want them to help others, because the whole program boils down to this. And I'd given one of the guys a card. I think I gave it to him. And this guy waits to see Dr. Bob. He goes to his office. He's a doctor, proctologist. And all he said to him, he wrote this out. Here's your prescription. Always remember it, Glenn. He said, trust God, clean house, help others. That's what we do. That is your prescription. And then Bill was more like a hypermark guy, like kind of like me. I'm a Bill. Glenn's kind of a Bob. So they go to see Bill, and he's complaining about all this, and Bill says, go back to your group and pass it on. So, and that's all we do, guys. So when I was asked last Sunday as I'm leaving to come this Sunday night, I don't say no. I just say yes. I'll come and share. And I know I was probably all over the place, guys, but I want to tell you, if you're here, stay here. And whatever you're going through, most of the time, people in Alcoholics Anonymous have been through it, guys. I mean, even when I was going through the marital change, my sponsor says, find a couple people that have been going through that. And I did. And they helped me, what they did. So whatever you're going through, you know, talk to someone about it. And if you have a sponsor, if they don't know, they'll refer you to somebody that has. And I want to thank you for anyone that showed up tonight. I know you had other plans, some of you, and I had a couple people call and say they couldn't make it. And, hey, I understand. We have lives. But, you know, I'm one of these that I believe in putting something back. If you give something back, we learn to be more of a givers in Alcoholics Anonymous than takers. I was a taker all my life. And my higher power, you guys have taught me how to give back. And the last thing I'll share, I'm a firm believer in the basics, keeping a God can. Something's bothering you, write it on a piece of paper. Put it in your God can. Check it in a few days, and a lot of times it's gone. Ask God to help you. Thank you.
Thanks, Leo.
Well, let's give Leo another round. Ah, yeah.